This, shipmates, this is that other lesson, and woe to that pilot of the living God who slights it. Woe to him whom this world charms from gospel duty. Woe to him who seeks to pour oil upon the waters when God has brewed them into a gale. Woe to him who seeks to please rather than to appall. Woe to him whose good name is more to him than his goodness. Woe to him who, in this world, courts not dishonor. Woe to him who would not be true, even though to be false were salvation. Yea, woe to him who, as the great pilot Paul has it, while preaching to others, is himself a castaway. He dropped and fell away from himself for a moment, then lifting his face to them again, showed a deep joy in his eyes as he cried out with a heavenly enthusiasm, "But oh, shipmates, on the starboard hand of every woe, there is a sure delight, and higher top of that delight than the bottom of the woe is deep. Is not the main truck higher than the kelson is low? Delight is to him a far, far upward and inward delight, who against the proud gods and commodores of this earth ever stands forth his own inexorable self. Delight is to him whose strong arms yet support him when the ship of this base, treacherous world has gone down beneath him. Delight is to him who gives no quarter in the truth and kills, burns, and destroys all sin, though he pluck it out from under the robes of senators and judges. Delight, top gallant delight, is to him who acknowledges no law or lord, but the Lord his God, and is only a patriot to heaven. Delight is to him whom all the waves of the billows, of the seas, of the boisterous mob can never shake from this sure keel of the ages. And eternal delight and deliciousness will be his who, coming to lay him down, can say with his final breath, O Father, chiefly known to me by thy rod, mortal or immortal, here I die. I have striven to be thine more than to be this world's or mine own. Yet this is nothing. I leave eternity to thee, for what is man that he should live out the lifetime of his God?
Beautifully put. Incredible stuff from our friend Bitcoin Sign Guy, who's in the studio to join us this week for Rabbit Hole Recap. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Bullish.
Bullish on Moby Dick.
A beautiful passage from Moby Dick. Thank you for your eloquent oration of that.
Dedicated to all the Bitcoiners who toe the line for the Bitcoin gospel every day on crypto Twitter.
Well, this has been a very strong week for reinforcing that that mission that Bitcoiners are on.
Reinforce the narrative. We're renaming this highly cursed snake oil week Bitcoin Week. Next year, it's Bitcoin Week.
Officially. We got slowly towards that goal this year. It was a step in the right direction, 1 year at a time.
Yeah, this was our strongest Bitcoin week yet.
Yeah, it's been fun. A lot of news. Like, I'm tired. I don't know about you two.
I'm wiped out.
Straight recovery mode.
I'm hurting. We're
this
coming
motherfucker brought a bull to the MCC. That was ridiculous.
what was acquiring the bull like?
We'll say it was a lot of bullshit.
Do you have your head on a swivel in case any PETA freaks are looking to throw blood on you?
Oh, you know, I didn't consider PETA. Actually, truth be told, the bull is it shouldn't be a concern to them. It's an extremely well cared for animal, hand fed from birth. It's this guy's pet, basically, and it's also an actor. It's a thespian. I acquired it through an animal talent agency, so it's been in, you know, commercials and stuff like that. It's definitely 99th. Percentile of animal treatment in America.
Any movies we would recognize?
I don't know. I'll have to talk to his agent.
Well, thank you for bringing the bull. It started off the week like hot. MCC started off the week last weekend. There's been great talks at that conference in particular, and then Consensus, more of the after parties and conversations outside the conference have been incredible.
Well, it was truly my pleasure. I did it to benefit the atmosphere of that conference and just give Bitcoiners a physical representation of the emotions that we're all feeling these days.
Yes.
The bullish sentiments.
Well, speaking of bullish sentiments.
Animal spirits.
I think, are we going to talk about topics pertaining to Bitcoin? Or are we going to talk about just...
Do we have an ad read?
Oh, we do have an ad read. We have two ad reads. This episode of Rabbit Hole Recap is brought to you by Unchained Capital. You freaks know all about them. Check out their two
What's going on, Drew?
What's going on, Drew?
And
what's
Parker,
what's
Joe.
What's going on, Parker,
Shout
Joe?
Shout out.
Yeah, they're putting together an incredible product for you freaks to help you get more certainty with your custody. Specifically, their 2 or 3 multi-sig vault product, which you can use with your Trezor or Ledger when they're not connected. You're 100% cold storage. If you ever need Unchained to come in inside that third key in that vault, they can step in and do that for you. Another great thing, they're open sourcing their whole solutions as well. I think they're ideologically pure and aligned with Bitcoin. So go to unchained-capital.com/vaults and check out their vault program today. This episode of Tales from the Crypt / Rabbit Hole Recap is also brought to you by the Cash App. You freaks already know all about it. It's been the number one finance app in the app stores for the last 2 years. First P2P app to let you freaks buy Bitcoin. And they're also allowing you seamlessly to P2P payments app, excuse me. They're also allowing
Marty
you
a look.
They're also allowing you freaks to take your coins in your own custody, simply withdraw your coins after you buy them. On top of this, they have the Boost program. I used it this morning for coffee, $1 off at the coffee shop. Go to the App Store or Google Play Store and check out Cash App today. Download it. Stack Sats, freaks.
Simplest place in the U.S. to stack sats.
It is. People are liking better after a conversation with them in Europe.
Simplest place in Europe to stack sats.
Fact.
Do they have the auto buy live yet?
No, but soon.
Speaking of stacking sats, it would be hard to do that if you're trying to stack fresh Bcash because they had a hard fork yesterday or 2 days ago, and it was a complete shit show.
Stacking shit.
Yeah. So apparently they scheduled hard fork. It happened. It split into 3 chains, I believe. One went completely dead, and then 2 zombied on. But they were pretty hastily pushed this fork out, and there was a consensus bug which didn't allow miners to like put transactions and blocks.
Yeah, I don't think it was a consensus bug.
I was talking to Matt Corral last night. He seemed to believe it was a consensus bug.
My understanding was that. The rules for determining if a transaction was valid were based on the pre-fork rules. So
yeah, so it was consensus.
But the nodes were like in consensus, but they just weren't accepting new transactions into their own mempools because they.
No, the mempools were.
They were not valid.
No, the mempools were full. They were just getting the Coinbase rewards. That's all. That was
interesting.
That's the only transactions that were happening on the network.
Anyway, it's mostly a waste of time. But the key thing here is that if you have routine hard forks with minimal code review, then you have these kinds of bugs that you see like in the wild, and it's just completely haphazard and reckless to do that on live systems that are, you know, at least in Bitcoin's case, that are holding billions of dollars of value.
Yeah, and this is why Bitcoiners ardently avoid hard forks at all costs.
Yeah, and Matt, you should also talk about the Bcash Schnorr implementation.
The copy paste.
The copy paste, yeah. The Control-C, Control-V. I mean, I think it's a little reckless since you sort of need a team to maintain a shift like that, but
they just kind of threw it in as like a marketing. They just copy and pasted some basic Schnorr implementation, right? Without all the rest of the prerequisites, like everything else that to be useful in any kind of way.
Yeah. Well, Bcash, we are flattered.
They tried to copy and paste just the Schnorr implementation into their
code. Yeah.
Interesting.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Yeah, they're using it as like a marketing gimmick.
Yeah, so let's go down the checkbox of everything Bitcoin Cash has done since the hard fork. They added checkpointing. They've already had a consensus bug.
They basically had a pre-mine in the beginning because of their fucked up difficulty algorithm.
That as well.
Adjustment.
They fucked up the difficulty
mixed
adjustment.
With like Bitmain controlling the whole process. So there was like a massive pre-mine in the beginning.
So I'm going to say it. I'm going to be bold, loud, and proud and say that I think Bitcoin Cash is economically dead. It may zombie on, but I don't think it'll ever threaten Bitcoin in any way.
I've been saying it's trending to zero forever, but I officially called it dead when they implemented the checkpoint system.
Yes. as it's some of their...
I would say that's the official time of death.
Yeah. The checkpointing. Yeah, remember Andres Brecken's reaction to that?
Yeah.
You should never checkpoint. Yeah, at least he's ideologically pure when and consistent when bad things happen. That was a tangent, though.
What's the price of Bitcoin and what's the block height?
Oh, yeah, we're off kilter today. Price of Bitcoin is $7,947.75, according to the trade block XBX index, and we were at block 576,338.
What's the debt clock at?
What's the what?
The debt clock at. You should start reading that.
It's above $22 trillion.
Because that's the, that here comes that dollar demonetization. We saw the man, the yangster, you know, shilling his UBI at Consensus
yesterday.
It's
called the Freedom Dividend.
It's the Freedom Dividend.
1,000 yang bucks a month. I'll take that, direct deposit into my Kraken account.
Yeah, right in the Cash App and just stack sats with it.
It's like, thank you for your accelerationist efforts, Mr. Yang. I also like that he was asked about the pink vaporwave hats, and he was like, so... We don't produce them ourselves because of Vaporwave's association with extreme ideologies. So, as if the acceleration weren't ramping hard enough, now every Democratic candidate has to have an official stance on Vaporwave aesthetics.
The funniest part is that hat is so badass. They should just embrace
the shit
out of that hat.
It's sick. I mean, look, I can't get behind 99% of Yang's platform, but hey, look, he is an accelerant of Bitcoin, and for that, I wouldn't say I'm in the Yang gang, but I respect their work.
He's good for Bitcoin in multiple ways, because not only the Freedom Dividend, but I feel like he wouldn't pass like any kind of like onerous regulation for Americans. Yeah.
He seems open to it. He definitely is completely confused of how this technology will work. He was talking about like community
confusion
tokens
is,
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's good for us.
To
he
our benefit.
He's going to have some community service token.
Yeah.
A CST.
No, the longer they're confused, the better for us.
Yeah, exactly. Run. That's what I'm saying.
This is good. Segue into more macro stuff. The price rise has been pretty rapid. We don't like to talk about price too much around here, but the price rise has been pretty rapid last week in particular.
126 satoshis per penny now.
It's your penny's not going as far as it was a couple weeks ago, freaks. That's for damn sure. So we went up from, let's go back to, what's today, 16th, back to the 9th. The 9th, we ended the day at 6342, currently at around 8,000, so... Pretty high appreciation, and there's a lot of speculation out there. Is Bitcoin acting as a risk-off asset? Because a lot of people were looking at the trade war, what's going on with China and the U.S. The trade war is heating up. There's been a lot of talk about tariffs and sanctions and whatnot, and the yuan is depreciating as a result. And there's also these medallions and Hong Kong medallions that are used as capital flight vehicles for the Chinese. The price of those are going up as well.
What are they like? They're gold medallions?
I don't think they're gold. I think it's some sort of bearer asset that they're able to get into. I don't know if they're physically gold.
Sounds like a shit coin.
Yeah, it does. But people are fleeing to that, so it seems like there's a flight to safety, and the narrative of Bitcoin as a flight to safety, is it a safe haven? Is that why the price is going up? Was that discussion was going on this week. Gentlemen, what do you think?
I like the narrative. I'm cool with it. I'm like super happy with going with this narrative. I think the first person who brought it up to me was my father. And I said to him, I was like, yep, we can go with that. That works.
Does he believe that Bitcoin's going up because of the trade war?
Yeah, he asked me. He was like, do you think that's why? Like, kind of lines up, right? I think Chinese people in general realize the value prop of Bitcoin as a capital flight asset, to begin with. So if you have a yuan devaluation incoming, right, which is what it looks like, it makes sense that they would go into harder assets, and a lot of them already know about Bitcoin.
Yes, and Bitcoin is the best place to store your value, especially if you're in a situation where you need to you have to flee with your capital.
Like we always say, you need to have it before you need it, right? You have to have it before you need it. So I think that as Bitcoin matures, and we will see this happen more and more, where there's going to be small short bursts where like the price gets a little bit ridiculous, especially in certain regional areas.
BSG, can we do like a little currency market education here for the freaks out there? What's the difference between the yuan and the renminbi?
It's their offshore and onshore currencies.
Yeah, so if you freaks, there's a lot of interchanging between the Chinese currency. Some people say renminbi, some people say yuan. Are they pegged to each other?
I think there's a rate that gets fixed by the Chinese central bank.
Yeah, so if you're confused about that.
So it's two separate currencies?
Yeah, it's two.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, Baizhuas don't know this.
That was super confusing.
It is really. It is the onshore-offshore thing. It is confusing. Fuck. It confuses me still to this day.
It's the mechanism by which, you know, everyone always says, oh, China manipulates.
So which one's the offshore one?
The most popular, you'll look at the charts, you'll see is the yuan.
That's what you see all the time. All the Bitcoin charts always.
Yeah, and renminbi is the offshore one, I believe. Yeah.
But we think they're pegged and they're worth the same?
No, I don't know if there's any dislocation in the renminbi to yuan peg. It's more U.S. dollar to yuan.
Interesting.
Yes.
But anyway, if that shit's getting devalued, if you're worried that's going to get devalued, then you know you don't have that many options, especially in a country like China, like where you have offshore real estate and you have these medallions, like you said, right?
Yeah. So just be aware of the
equities, I guess.
So start observing and seeing how Bitcoin price reacts to more macro events like this, when there are flight to safeties in the general markets. Let's see how Bitcoin reacts.
I love the safe. I think the safe haven asset is like really the true value prop of Bitcoin. It doesn't. You know, it's going to take a little time for it to become like truly the safe haven. We just need it to mature and adoption to increase, liquidity to increase, and volatility to decrease.
And if the flight to safety ever gets too accelerated and to a point where the governments get scared and try to shut down the internet service providers so people can't relay Bitcoin within their borders,
we'll roll through with the ham radios.
We'll roll through with the ham radios, or what was announced over the week at MCC, Blockstream and GoTenna have teamed up to connect their GoTenna's TXTenna app and the Blockstream satellite so people can propagate Bitcoin transactions through the mesh network and then broadcast it to the satellite.
No, you receive through the satellite and then you broadcast through the mesh is the flow.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the avenues through which transactions can be relayed is getting more robust and stronger. This is something we've been covering here at RHR for months, actually a year. I wrote about TXTenna for the first time like this week last year. But that's when it came on the scene, and this is where it is now. And it seems like it's progressed a lot over the last year.
And then if you have like a GoTenna relay, you receive through the satellite. It's a passive process, so no one knows you're even pulling Bitcoin transactions. So you can run a full node through the satellite. You receive, then you broadcast a transaction into the GoTenna network. Then let's say it hops off of like five different GoTennas, and then like the sixth GoTenna is like connected to the internet, and then it could broadcast out to the wider.
Well, it could be broadcasted there, but I think it could also be broadcasted to somebody running BlockSat and sending transactions via satellite from their node to the satellite in the sky as well.
I'm pretty sure you can't like broadcast to the satellite, like unless you go through the internet. Like you can use their API to send it through the internet, but I'm pretty sure you can't broadcast to the satellite.
I think it's one way.
It's receivable.
Download only.
Yeah.
All right, Uncle Marty.
It's like passive. It's like a radio. It's like constantly just sending out data. You're not actually requesting which data you get. It's just constantly sending you block data.
All right, Uncle Marty with a little brain fart there. Sorry for
you. I didn't even know China had two currencies.
That's why they call it Blockstream.
The conspiracy is it gets deeper. So that's a project we've been following. It's a credible development that it seems to be, again, getting more robust, and this is what we look for.
There's a huge privacy improvement there, too, yeah.
Yes.
You can run a full node basically fully private without internet.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane. What else do we got next? You want to go to vulnerabilities in the world outside of Bitcoin. So Intel has a
two this week.
First one is Intel. They have a vulnerability similar to Meltdown Inspector. This one is called Zombie Load, and it attacks the processor and is able to access data on websites and can find out your passwords and cryptographic tokens that are used to access websites.
Correct.
Yes.
First of all, they got great names. They keep coming out with great names, all the new vulnerabilities.
Zombie load. I like zombie. That.
No one wants a zombie load.
I don't want to take a load from a zombie. I'll tell you that.
All the different manufacturers have released patches. Like, this is a pretty bad one. Just another reminder that you should just, any of your devices connected to the internet, you should assume they can be compromised. And this is, you know, why hardware wallets are really important. This is why, you know, proper multi-sig usage is important.
Yes, and it seems as though WhatsApp's claim to be fully encrypted is being questioned as well this week. What was the specifics of that bug again?
You just, if you call a WhatsApp person, you own their app.
Yes.
If you, like, did a call in, like, a, you know, in a buggy way, you can compromise the app. I'm not sure what information you could get from it. It looked pretty bad. I don't think they said what exactly information they got.
Is it similar to, like, the FaceTime bug where you could FaceTime somebody and answer? You could listen to their phone?
I think so, yeah. I wonder if they got mic access from it. I'm going to check right now. Yeah, I mean, this is pretty bad, right? Like,
yeah.
And it just goes again, you know, once again, you should just, if you use WhatsApp, that's fine. It's probably not the best encrypted messenger. It's not the worst. You know, you're probably better off using something like Signal. You know, probably only the Russians have owned Telegram, but you know, you have Keybase, they use Stellar or whatever, which is fucking annoying. But you should just assume that even if you're operating on these channels, like, assume that the encryption can be broken. Another issue with WhatsApp is that either side, they have these automatic backups that you can enable, and it backs up to Google Drive and iCloud. And if sort of the other
those
side,
are vulnerable.
If the other side does it, like, I don't back up any of my conversations, but if anyone I'm talking to has auto backup set up, like, all my conversations are in their fucking cloud. Like, it's bullshit.
That is fucked. Yeah, yeah. So think about, this is like 23andMe. Don't think about how this just affects you. Think about how it affects the people close to you, the people you're communicating with on these apps.
My girlfriend's mom took a DNA test, and so my kids are straight doxed.
Wow, she doxed your kids.
Doxed my future kids.
See, I think there should be, like, I wonder if we're going to see legislation about that, because there's a, you're giving up privacy of all your relatives at the same time.
Horrific, yeah.
There should be some kind of consent.
I mean, they weren't joking when in Peter Sellers' Dr. Strangelove, when they said that they're coming for your precious bodily fluids. Literally the last form of privacy you have. So by all means, preserve that. Can't even walk down the street without your face getting
snapped.
But
it's going to be
these days.
Well, I wrote about that in the Ben today. Like, that dude in the UK. UK was walking down the street. Absurd. Police in the UK warned him that, like, hey, we're surveilling faces up here, just so you know. And the dude put his sweatshirt above his face, walked by, and they stopped him and gave him a fucking 90-pound ticket because he didn't comply.
The UK needs to be fixed.
The face tracking?
The face fucking,
man. But at least San Francisco, you see San Francisco banned face tracking?
Yes.
They did.
And, like, honestly, I have no faith in, like, legislation solving this issue. But it's still good to see, and it means, like, people care and people are, like, fighting for this. And I think we're just getting started, so it's good. It's really good to see.
Well, that brings up a good point. Like, I don't think legislation is going to do anything either. It's going to be ephemeral at the end of the day, and this stuff is already out there, and it exists, and we may have lost the facial recognition law.
Like, companies want it because they want big data. The NSA wants it because they want to surveil everything. And then when you combine it with the fact that hardware is so cheap, you just get cameras and microphones everywhere. I bet that there's at least like 30 in this room.
Easily.
No, there's not 30 cameras. Anyway.
No.
Not cameras.
The thing is,
devices,
like,
devices that could,
microphones and cameras combined.
And they don't even have to, like,
for
be,
all our devices.
Yeah, they don't have to be inserting cameras. Like, I was thinking, like, at the events, you know, that have gone over this week. like all these people are taking pictures, and if it goes to like iCloud or Google Photos or whatever, they could be doing, you know, you could be pulling up on all those facial recognition hits.
Yeah.
I looked up the WhatsApp vulnerability, by the way, and it was just like really bad. Like they could pull like any data from your phone.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
And but that's like going back to the point about I wrote in the Ben, like this like maybe we lost this war and like we should fight for the civil liberties that we can claw back, Bitcoin being one of them, with money and value. And maybe if we're successful in that endeavor, we'll be able to defund the states that are trying to spy on us.
I like that idea.
I think we'll have like, you know, surveillance free zone. I think in like a post Bitcoin world, like jurisdictions will be competing for, I guess like privacy focused rich people. Mm-hmm. And so I think we'll have like zones that are like surveillance free, and hopefully, and I'll live in one of those.
Well, hopefully the poor people are privacy conscious as well.
Yeah. I just, you know, that'd be great too. Right. But I think that when you talk about jurisdictions competing with each other, poor people are generally left out because they can't move easily. You know, moving is costly, especially like if you're going to like a completely different country or something like that.
Yeah. This is a hypothetical.
I frequently think of how when we think of, say, public surveillance, we think of these gigantic surveillance cameras that are, you know, they're in a big black plastic hemisphere, and they, you know, they announce their presence, right? But when you think about how small, say, a cell phone camera is, and that could be stuck, you know, nearly anywhere, I think there's going to be an insidious period when easily observable surveillance tech disappears, and you have no idea which way you're being viewed from.
It's scary because you have like little nano robots, like little nano bee-like creatures that can spy on you. They look like real bees. They exist. This stuff exists.
Oh, yeah. And Google Aerostat.
Aerostat?
Aerostat.
E-R-O-stat?
A-E-R-O-S-T-A-T.
A-E-R-O-S-T-A-T. Not the best speller here.
That's okay.
Even though I write every day. Yeah, so...
be aware.
Be aware. Civil liberties are important. They're being taken from us every day. And you got to fight for them.
At least, you know, we can take back some privacy. Face tracking is going to be one of the hardest ones.
Maybe impossible.
Just put stickers on your face. Buy some designer stickers.
Or just become a juggalo.
Put them on your cheek. A different one every day.
I guess if you live in like a cold place, you can like get away with wearing one of those face masks a lot.
Yeah.
Well, back to Bitcoin news, more positive news. Here's a cool chart from Ceteris Paribus. Bitcoin dominance measured in transaction fees. Bitcoin has 92% dominance when you're looking at the amount of fees miners are accruing from the activity on the network. I think this is a good dominance metric. What do you guys think?
I'm amazed at all the ways that these data dudes can find bullish data for Bitcoin. Nick Carter never runs dry, it seems, the Coinmetrics team. He can spin up any type of data to discredit any shitcoin.
Is this an abusive data in any way?
No, it's not an abusive data. It's just that because we have this new economic system, we forget that we haven't found all of the interesting ratios, comparisons, trends, etc.
Is cherry picking might have been a better phrase for that question. Is this cherry picking data?
I don't think so. I mean, are fees important?
Yeah. I think this is probably the hardest data to game, but it is gameable. But pretty much all these numbers can be gamed in one way or the
How's
other.
How's this gameable? Increase your trend.
Yeah, I could see. Well, you start using a metric, like people get really creative about gaming it. But if you,
it seems like an expensive metric to game.
Let's say you had like an EOS style network But instead of doing no fees where the fees are socialized and you're paying it through inflation, you did it so there were transaction fees. And then you controlled all the nodes that got paid the transaction fees. So then you sent a ton of high paying transaction fee transactions to pay. Like, no one's gaming it right now, but I'm saying, like, you could theoretically game it if you were collecting all the fees, because then you're not paying for anything for it, right? You're just paying yourself.
Right.
Yeah, you can't game it on Bitcoin, but you could game it on alt chains if you so desired.
Yeah, like an alt miner.
That seems like it would be like an
alt miner could
process.
Probably
be a lot
pay themselves the fee.
What?
An alt miner could probably just pay themselves a fee and just mine a block just with their one transaction.
Right. If they controlled
like
enough
that.
Miners, they can make it like relatively cheap to pull off some kind of fee increase.
But for this one sudden moment in time when we realize this, I think it's valuable right now.
Yeah, and it looks like a really cool little like Pac-Man chart with Bitcoin just eating everything else.
Yeah. Ethereum's in second with 8% to Bitcoin's 92%. Insane. It's people think people have been clamoring that the flipping is going to happen this year.
Dude, 92% is frankly bearish. Sell now.
So if you're pushing a flipping narrative out there, I would go look at these stats. They tell a different story. We did not talk about this yet. Just announced right before we hit record. Coinbase is in advanced talks to buy custody provider Zappo for $50 million, plus an earnout in order to boost its custody business. Sources tell the block Zappo has 700,000 Bitcoin.
Don't do it, Wences. Please don't do it.
I think we need the U.S. government to step in and stop
don't.
This monopoly, this merger from
US
happening.
Government
I'm, kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. This would be a serious concentration of Bitcoin in one custody provider.
Well, hopefully most Zappo users would pull it once Coinbase bought Zappo. But I as a Zappo user, I'd be pretty upset that my privacy got leaked to Coinbase.
Do you think they have as a Zappo user? Do you think they have a course of recourse to try to stop this merger?
There's probably like terms and conditions or something. Yeah. I haven't read any shit. What do you think about this BSG?
I don't know. Obviously, I think Zappo is a great product, and I think Wences is, you know, the man. So I'm sure he had his reasons, but I.
Well, it's not official yet. It's a rumor, and it's anonymous. So
we're speculating here.
There's a chance they might not do it. Also, what's interesting is it's for $50 million, supposedly. And they're custodying 700,000 Bitcoin, which is $5.5 billion right now about. And the reason it's such a low price for that is because I never knew this, they don't collect fees for just holding your Bitcoin for you. The way they make their money is facilitating OTC trades between their clients.
Yeah, I can imagine Coinbase buying them and implementing custody fees.
Yeah, custody fees, all the nine yards, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel. I don't know how I know how I feel. I bet this ekes me out. I don't think, doesn't Coinbase already have like 1.1 million Bitcoin?
Yeah, I mean, I prefer Wences didn't do it, you know, so.
Wences, if you're listening, we know you are. Just take a word of advice. Hey, this is just one little devil angel on your shoulder.
Like, Bitcoin will be fine. This would be extra bad if it was a proof of stake system, right?
Yes.
So I think Bitcoin would be fine, but it would suck for the users, and you know, it would just suck that we lost a company that's in good regard to probably like one of the most legitimate custodians to Coinbase, who's obviously just running around like a chicken without a head. Like, they have no idea what's going on.
I do think that structurally we would see consolidation of Bitcoin exchanges and large Bitcoin services. There's definitely a critical number of big institutions that will, you know, be the quote-unquote banks of the future. And so, I don't know, we could compare like the Herfindahl market concentration index of banking to the Herfindahl index of Bitcoin exchanges. Now, that would be an interesting case study if Derek, Sue, or Nick Carter wants to hop on that nerd shit.
That Herfindahl index after 08 consolidated into four banks. But I think we need more of an explosion. I think we need more options first before we consolidate like that. Do you think we're ready to consolidate only a decade in?
I mean, I think there will probably be net consolidation, but it doesn't mean that new services don't keep being released.
I think
don't stop being released.
We have two things going for us. We have, if you don't include the regulatory hurdle, the cost of entrance to be a Bitcoin custodian is much lower than traditional custodian. And then the second thing is, I think the biggest weapon we have here is multisig. I think multisig gives a lot of people the same advantages they might seek with a custodian, like extra, you know, they don't trust themselves completely, so they want that custodian involved. But at the same time, it helps the custodian because they're not a custodian. They only have one key. So they don't have that regulatory headache. They don't have that extra security burden for them as well. So I think it's actually beneficial for the actual business to go a multi-sig route in addition to the consumer.
Well, I think Unchained Capital would agree with this.
Yeah, it basically just described their business model.
No, this is also a reminder to you freaks out there, like, vote with your dollars. Like, if you don't want the exchange world to be consolidated around Coinbase, move off Coinbase and support an exchange that you think will act ethically in Bitcoin in the future.
Definitely don't store your coins on Coinbase. Like, if you want to use a custodian, then I guess use one, but just don't use Coinbase. And, not your keys, not your coins. All this shit's IOU if you don't have the...
How many times have we said that on this podcast, do you think?
So many times.
Never repeat it enough.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll see more custodian style like Circle where they just don't allow you to self custody. They give you no withdrawal option. Because from both the regulatory and security point of view, it's a lot easier for them as well. Which would suck.
That'd you're not really not using good. Bitcoin at that point though.
No, you're not. I mean you're using 5% of it.
Yes.
You're getting exposure to the price increase.
Yeah.
Under most situations.
Yeah, so rumors that there's talks going on of consolidation in the custodian world.
Don't do it, Wences. Just charge a management fee on your $5.5 billion. it's like, come on, for 50 mil?
Right. Another thing that dropped this week was announced on Monday. Consensus Week's always a Bitcoin Week. Excuse me, is always a big week for announcements. People like to come to New York and pitch their new products. One that was announced by Microsoft was a decentralized identity. Identity. Basically, a decentralized identity product that their marketing is going to be anchoring data into the Bitcoin blockchain.
And IPFS.
And IPFS. Yes. From what I understand, that's pretty blockchain agnostic. They're choosing Bitcoin because it's the best, most secure network. But if you wanted to use this software to secure it to another chain, you could as well.
Yeah, I haven't combed through exactly how the system works. However, one project that I am actually actively working on, I wouldn't call it a competitor to Microsoft DID, but it is a reputation system that is rooted, or it accumulates attestations on Bitcoin transactions. So having a credible digital reputation is something that's very important in the future if we are to upgrade our, you know, the cybernetic makeup of our society from KYC AML based to, you know, future, you know, pseudo anonymity permissive, you know, fully like private markets. Essentially, it's highly required, and more attention should be on creating these, you know, digital credit scores, because we see where we're going if we don't take the lead on this.
How do these digital credit scores that we envision differ from the social credit scores that the Chinese citizens are getting?
Exactly.
Right now?
That's what I mean. We see that we're headed there if we let the state design it for us. So this must be built open source with, you know, the full market mechanisms in place to weed out features and, you know, refine how it's built. It should be up to, you know, the people, emergent order, and certainly not some platonic fascist.
That's what's nice to see with this Microsoft proposal is that it is open source. They want it to be, anyone can interact with it. It'll secure into the whatever the most secure public blockchain is, which is Bitcoin. And it doesn't require a token, right? Like what Vinny told us, that you can't do decentralized ID without a token. So here we are.
We don't civic wrecked, dump it.
Time of death, 1505.
Today. No, Monday, the Microsoft announcement.
But truly, not to you know, be a shameless promoter here, but do stay tuned. We will be announcing the name and details of our project in the coming months.
Bang, oh, bang. Awesome. Oh, I didn't realize it was that real. That's badass.
It's real. We got people.
And then you had another project that you launched this week.
Yeah, it's been something that I've been working on for a while. It's a credit card processor that does a specialty underwriting for all different industries, but essentially particularly areas of interest to right now digital manufacturer of firearms.
I was talking about your, that sounds badass, but I was talking about your,
oh yeah,
Bitcoin,
so my third
art.
Your
so
wares
my, so my third yeah. my third project the, yeah. the art yeah I was an art student in college and I was bored, so I decided to make 21 buy Bitcoin signs and sell them, because I was told that you know, Bitcoiners would appreciate them and be willing to buy them. So I've been pretty shocked, actually. I've sold nearly all 21. I think I may be sold out. I have I might do a lottery, because I have, I think, more than 21 orders.
Boss, congrats on this. But
you're not going to print anymore, right?
No. So you heard it here. I time stamped them all on Bitcoin. With Peter Todd's fabulous Open Timestamps software. And so basically all of the owners of these will be able to collectively get together and, you know, disprove anyone that claims to have, you know, a counterfeit one.
Well, do you need, is it like a 21 to 21 multi-sig, or would you be...
Well, just that they could all present their keys, and then there would be nobody. They could all sign, or however
it's like
it is.
A digital certificate of authenticity.
So, like, if there's 21 valid certificates,
do you need all 21 to be together to prove that the fake is a fake?
I suppose that would be the case. Though yes. It's not like they're forming a signature. Mm-hmm. It's
a meat space multi-sig. It's
like musical chairs, you know, all of the people have their chair, and someone claiming to have a false one would be left standing.
But how is the...
What if endeavoring counterfeiter sees one of the open timestamps somehow? Maybe they go to one of the owner's houses.
If they steal the timestamp, I don't know.
They copy it. Yeah,
that's a different threat model.
Well, the thing is, like, the person who has the certificate of authenticity, like, they could make another one, and like, there's no way to connect it
right.
directly.
However,
to the pad,
but
you know,
but
that they own it.
But because it's time stamped, you know the original time.
Right, but you don't know that it connects it to the pad, right?
No, yeah, I did.
You just know that person bought one. Original 21.
No, well, I put a photograph of each. Each one.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
and what's the website for that again?
You can go to buybitcoin.art and help me stack some sats.
Awesome.
we're compound
stack
memeing
some coins,
over here.
Man.
Compound memes. I mean, people have been, you know, kind and said like, oh, buy Bitcoin is such a great meme. But honestly, I think that you two have developed the next big meme for the next couple years of Bitcoiner accumulation, stacking sats, man.
It's the evolution of buy Bitcoin.
I love it.
It really was. It was natural. Thank you for forging the path.
Well, I mean, we used to, it's also sort of interesting that we are now evolving from having, when you spend Bitcoin, the numerator used to be Bitcoin in 8 places to the right of the decimal. But now we are moving into the hyper Bitcoinized mode where we use sats as the base unit, like numerator.
Yeah.
When sat sent parity.
Soon. What is it? Soon. 176 sats?
That would be 1 million per Bitcoin.
Oh, shit.
127 sats per percent right now.
Okay. Yeah, we have to 120x from here. My bad. At least. No, yeah, it is like awesome. It's the natural progression, right? You forged away, stack sats, and I think the normalization of pricing things in Satoshis is important because thinking in whole Bitcoins is going to be completely impractical in the future if this becomes successful.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should say the price in Satoshis from now on at the beginning of the podcast.
Certainly do that.
Got to practice what we preach.
Yeah.
Lightning really
dollars
helps you.
Dollars per Satoshi.
Yeah.
Lightning really helps you think in sats.
Yeah, it really drives it home.
It's very natural.
That's what one thing I've been able to... I could tell the price is going up without even looking at a price chart. I can look at our Zap app of people buying dime bag.
Yeah, thinking in sats.
Taking in sats, and the sats are getting less and less this week. So I wouldn't have even had to look at a price chart. I just said, damn, my the dime's going not going as far as it was last week.
There you go.
That's it. We're 45 minutes in. I think we should keep it light this week. That was warped. All the topics we have. Is there anything else on the top of your head that you thought of? Did I miss anything?
No.
Oh, yes, we did. It would be remiss of us if we did not shout out BitcoinRabbitHole.org. Adam Tash. Adam Tashe has put together a great resource for anybody looking to push newbies into a direction of good information on Bitcoin. Adam has aggregated an incredible amount of content from videos, essays, whatever it may be, white papers on cryptography. Incredible source, BitcoinRabbitHole.org.
Great name. Love the name.
Love the name. Incredible name. It's, great name. That's it. That's all I got. I don't know. I'm dead. I'm tired. I can't speak. I've done 10 podcasts this week. I'm dead.
Stay humble, stack sats.
Snake oil salesmen really wear you out.
They really do.
You know, I got kicked out of the Deloitte Enterprise Blockchain VIP Lounge with with Pierre Rochard on Monday.
Were you two starting trouble?
Their rep, we were sort of needling him about enterprise blockchain, and we said, so like, what got you into the space? And he was like, yeah, well, I was mining Bitcoin in 2009, which I gotta say,
would not be at fucking Deloitte, bro.
Highly dubious statement. And then, we asked if he had, we decided to sort of give him a pop quiz on Bitcoin tech to see if he was legit or not. And so we said, so what's Byzantine fault tolerance? And he goes like, I don't know. And Pierre just says, well, have you heard of Byzantium? I said, do you happen to be a general? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, or a special operator? And then he says, like, yeah, it's time for you gentlemen to get out.
We're solving the Byzantine general's problem, freaks. Man. And if you're an enterprise blockchain snake oil salesman, you should probably at least know the basics.
It's all about how we coordinate the attack on the shitcoiners, man. That's
not even shitcoinery. That's just like stupid application of tech that will probably never work.
Yeah, truly. But yes,
it's definitely shitcoinery.
They're not the enterprise blockchain. They're not selling tokens
to
the public.
They don't have a token.
Yeah.
But they're selling the chain to the private.
Yeah,
right?
To enterprises.
Yeah.
Good luck, enterprises.
Yeah.
It's important truly. To always troll the enterprise guys. Truly.
Yeah.
They have too much money. Deloitte, please don't sue me.
Do your part, freaks. That's all we got this week. Thank you for ending on that story, and thank you for reading a passage in the beginning.
Oh, thank you. Everyone read Moby Dick, man. It's important.
Peace and love, freaks.
Cheers.
Ba-kay!